Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Buffalo Beat. The Bills getting their eighth victory of the season. Barely. They defeat the Detroit Lions by a score of 28-25. Not quite a field goal to win it as time expired, but basically. It only left 2 seconds on the clock. The Bills put a somewhat forgettable stretch in the second half behind them and were able to do what was necessary to get the victory. But that doesn't mean that the win comes without questions, because what the Bills showed for long stretches of the game were slightly concerning, to the point in which now you ask bigger picture stuff as they move forward in their season with some pretty key contests coming up against AFC East opponents. My name is Joe Biscaglia. Thanks everyone for joining me here on this post-game edition of the Buffalo Beat. Like I said, the Bills win 28-25. That's the underlying factor to all this. They won a game against a team in the Lions who had won three previous games. But it also seemed like an opportunity for them to get themselves back in order a little bit here. When you look at what the Lions were coming into the game, yes, they are a inspired bunch under head coach Dan Campbell. They've won their last three games. They've played some teams tough, but when you look at their overwhelming defensive stats throughout the season and how teams have picked them apart, you see a team that was near the bottom of the league in run defense. You see a team that was without their starting cornerback, their best starting cornerback in Jeffrey Okuda, and starting a pair of guys that have not done all that well this season in at the boundary cornerback positions, I should say. And so when you have all of those factors along with an offense that seemed to wake up a little bit against the Browns, that also has to be factored in. I guess before we get into the overall being critical of them, the one thing that I'll point out is that there was adversity hitting the Bills and, you know, having to uproot their operation before the Browns game, what they thought would be a home game in which they had to play it in Detroit, and then having to go back to Detroit 5 days later. You know, that's a tough stretch and a completely uneven week, so I don't want to discount that entirely. I think it's worth pointing out, and I think it's worth giving them some credit that they were able to put that aside enough, and maybe them just being mentally and physically exhausted at points of that game. I think that should be mentioned, but it's also fine to acknowledge that, which we are, and still be critical of how the entire operation looked for a pretty long stretch of the game. The Bills looked like they were just unable to move the ball in a competent manner in the second half against the Lions. There was one point early on in the game where it seemed like the Bills had them. It was 14-7. The Lions were the Bills defense forced a 4th-and-1 from deep in the Lions zone, and the Lions wound up going for it. And that seemed to me to be like this watershed moment where if the Lions didn't get that opportunity, I think this game could have wound up a lot differently in the fact that the Bills just would have continued to rack things up. But from that point forward, they seemed a bit shell-shocked on offense. You know, they were able to get the Lions went down and scored on that drive to make it 14-14. But from that point forward, the offense just seemed a little shell-shocked, and the numbers from the offense in the second half were alarming leading up to those final two drives. Josh Allen, in the second half leading up to those final two drives in which the Bills got down the field for a go-ahead touchdown, and then once the game was tied again, pushed the ball down the field in three plays to be able to set up Tyler Bass for the game-winning field goal. But up until those two drives, the Bills managed only 88 yards on 24 plays. 30 of those yards were gained on one single play. So on the other 23 snaps throughout the second half, the Bills were averaging 2.5 yards per play. And this is an offense that has at times averaged 7, 8, 9, 10 yards per play when they're really rolling. And for them to basically just set themselves up for failure, because if, I mean, add them up, 2.5 times 3 is 7.5. That's not good enough for a first down. But it just seemed a bit off. And, you know, they did have some injuries in that second half. Deion Dawkins went out with an ankle injury. We'll have to see what happens with him. Mitch Morse did not play in the game, so that meant Ryan Bates switched from right guard to center. And then Greg Van Roten entered the lineup there. David Quesenberry was in for Deion Dawkins. Spencer Brown has had some difficult reps throughout the season, and he did again against the Lions, even though he's mostly looked okay. But be it as it may, the Lions still had an entirely susceptible defense, pass defense, for the Bills to be able to move the ball effectively. And they were just, for the lack of a better word, they were off. Josh Allen completed 6 of 15 passes for 54 yards and an interception. Almost 2. The second one probably wasn't his fault. Wouldn't have been his fault if it actually happened. But 6 of 15 passes for 54 yards. And as I mentioned, there was one chunk play for 30 yards. And without that, you know, outside of that 30-yarder, Allen was looking at 5 of 14 for 24 yards on all his other plays. That's some concerning stuff. And, you know, if you listen to the broadcast, you would have heard CBS analyst Tony Romo basically every time Allen dropped back and threw the ball, mentioned the point that he believed that the elbow injury was impacting his overall accuracy. And I'm sure there's some to that. I mean, it's not just an injury that goes away overnight. The Bills are definitely taking measures to manage this injury, because he didn't throw much in the buildup to his first game against the Vikings. And then against the Browns, you know, he didn't really throw all that much in the two practices that they did have. And then from there, you know, we've seen this new pregame routine where he doesn't come out there. I mean, that's not his normal routine. He's usually out there early, getting throws in, everything like that, but they're managing the number of throws at this point. We'll see if that continues, but Romo seemed convinced that the elbow injury was a thing. And there were some placement of passes that did not seem like he was himself. And that's kind of been the case over the last few games. But I don't even want to use the elbow injury as a complete bailout, because over the last five games, since their bye week, this offense in general has just kind of looked a bit disjointed and unable of putting together a full game effort. Like, it's just been in spots where they have been able to put good drives together. Now, the counter argument to that is that, hey, the Bills put up 28 points and that should be good enough to win. Yeah, absolutely. But they are not finding the success against completely beatable defenses like the Browns, consistent success, I should say, like the Browns, like the Lions, that they should be able to, you know, have an explosive game. Like I said, the Lions are well coached. They play hard for Dan Campbell. But this was a pretty big opportunity missed, I think. And the Bills won that game, but I do not think that they were the better team on Thursday night. It was the least convincing victory I've seen from them this season. Like, even the Packers game, where they just kind of let the Packers hang around in the second half. Even the first half, you're like, okay, they deserve to win that game for how they played that. The Browns game, you know, how effectively they ran the ball, you know, that was deserving of a victory. The Lions, I think the Lions deserved a better fate than what they got. And I think that at the end, it boiled down to the overall talent of the Bills roster winning out above all else, and Allen and Diggs kicking into gear. But this is definitely somewhat of a concern, because now they're going up against three pretty good defenses, if not borderline great defenses in a row here, with the Patriots coming up, and even though they gave up 33 to the Vikings, this is a Patriots team that has shut down good offenses this season. The Jets gave the Bills a ton of problems in their first matchup. The Bills offense, I should say. And then the Dolphins, I think that is a team that has added pieces. And they were also facing some injuries the last time the Bills went up against them. And so that's going to be another tough out where, you know, the Dolphins have a really good run defense too. So that might force more pressure on Allen. So the easy part of what they were doing is behind, or the easy part of their schedule is behind them. The Browns and Lions, yes, they capitalized and got wins over both teams, but that should have been a lot of an easier track than it was. Just feels like they're a little off. But to their credit, they turned it on when they needed to. Josh Allen put it all together near the end of that game and was able to move the ball down the field effectively on two straight drives. So you look back at the at how they did it. I mean, it was just consistent play after consistent play. You know, there was only one pass that dropped incomplete over those final two drives. He threw for 85 yards over those final two drives and only had 54 throughout the rest of the drives in the second half. I mean, yes, they deserve credit for waking up, and I think a lot of the credit should go to Stephon Diggs for, you know, just trying to keep everything together. It looked like he was alive. The one of the only ones that were alive down there, and the broadcast, Tracy Wolfson, who is the sideline reporter for CBS, she made mention of the fact that, or what she called the Bills sideline as lifeless at spots in the second half. And that is a bad sign. Maybe it was the exhaustion of the week, you know, the mind being in so many different places at once. But it just wasn't, it wasn't clicking like it should have against the opponent. It was a bad day. And sometimes good teams have bad days, and the great ones are the ones that are able to find a win on those days. But I think it's less about them finding a way to win the game and more or less having signs that are somewhat concerning in how they project moving forward. But Stephon Diggs, there was one point where Allen threw him a pass, and it was supposed to be like this wide receiver screen. It was Tanner Gentry's only snap of the game. And I don't know if he missed the block. I have to go back and watch the All-22 on this, but I don't know if he missed the block or somebody missed the block, and Diggs took an absolute shot to the ribs. And it was the play where he was slow getting up. And it seemed like, and this was shortly after the Von Miller thing happened, which we'll get into, but that would have been a crushing blow to this offense, especially with how they were performing, how the rest of the game was going, how they were shorthanded in multiple different areas. You know, Diggs getting back out there almost immediately was huge for them because he was the guy that kind of willed this team to coming back and winning a game that the Lions probably should have won, at least from how the offense performed. At one point in the second half, the defense was outscoring the offense 2-0 for most of the second half, I should say. But there were some, as many negative signs as maybe there were some good signs of, you know, maybe ways that they can get themselves out of it. Like a bounce back game for Isaiah McKenzie. That was vital. And the Lions were playing a lot of man to man defense early on. And he was able to take advantage of that, made himself available. That was a nice job by McKenzie because he sorely needed a game like that. I've really liked what Ken Dorsey has done for a couple weeks in a row here. You know, I think Allen was off for a lot of that game, especially in the second half. But I do think how Dorsey was calling the game is putting them in better positions than maybe it was earlier in this rough patch of over the last 5 weeks. And then Singletary getting going for the second straight game. Again, this was a Lions rush defense that not quite as bad as the Browns, because the Browns are historically bad against the run, but the Lions have struggled a lot this year to defend the run. And And Singletary didn't have quite the game that he did against the Browns, but it was still enough to where it made an impact on what the Bills should have been able to do. Helping to set up play action, getting some big runs, you know, being available as a check down player. Like these are all good things that that Singletary put out there for them. So wasn't all bad. It's just concerning because this was a game that I think they should have really exploded to the finish and they just didn't. But now it's to the point to see how they pivot. Because the Patriots, even though the Bills have had their number the last couple of times they've played, you know, I think Belichick will be able to spot what the last five teams have done to frustrate this offense at times and try to expand upon that. Because, you know, 33 points to the Vikings, that was not ideal for them, but this is still a good defense that can put a great game together against a good team. So it's on the Bills to see how much healthier they get along the offensive line. You know, Mitch Morse was questionable coming into the game, so that might be a good sign with a full week before the Patriots game for him to get back in the lineup. To be determined on Deion Dawkins. He didn't play the entire second half. That would be a big loss because Quisenberry was an issue in the second half. So now we'll see how that goes, along with how Josh Allen does with a full week of prep and rest, in which they aren't thinking about a snowstorm. They're not thinking about turning the corner and there being another game just a couple of days later. Like, this is going to be their first, and specifically leading up to the Vikings game, whether or not he would actually play. This will be Allen's first full week where he doesn't have a significant concern that is extra to his normal week to week. So I do wonder if maybe that will have an impact on what they do, because he needs to be better. He needs to be more consistent. And the end of game heroics were great. Don't get me wrong. That 36 yarder to Stephon Diggs was an incredible throw. And I am certainly not going to sit here and take that or the drive before that away from him or them. We just have to look at the big picture and signs of whether or not this team can deliver on their potential. And if they play how they did for that entire game against the Lions, a disjointed effort where it's just, you know, all over the place, then there are some serious questions about whether or not this team can be that type of explosive team to take them into the Super Bowl and win it this year, because that's what the year is all about. So it remains to be seen what happens from here.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot.
Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The one other thing I'll point out about the offense was the running game has, after looking like it was starting to get a little bit more even between Singletary, James Cook, and Nyheim Hines, it went way in favor of Devin Singletary through that game. He took all 27 of the last 27 snaps because of mistakes made by James Cook. One of which was a drop pass. The other one where it looked like he was going to continue his route to the right, and he stopped for whatever reason. Josh Allen throws, thinking that that Cook is going to continue his right, and it's almost an interception. Luckily, from a Bills perspective, the linebacker dropped it, and it was kind of a low throw, but still not a great couple of reps there for the rookie. So he wound up only with 14 snaps. Singletary winds up with 60. And even early in the game, it seemed like Nyheim Hines was going to make a much bigger impact than what he actually did. He didn't play on the first series, but on the second series, Hines opened up as the running back, took three more additional snaps during that touchdown drive. And of the first, let's see, how many was it? 13 snaps, he had four. James Cook had one, and Devin Singletary had nine. There was one play where Cook and Singletary, or Cook and Hines, were on the field at the same time. But after that drive, the Bills did not put Nyheim Hines on the field again once, which was very confusing, considering how they used him throughout the game against Cleveland, but they just never went back to it for whatever reason. And then it became the Devin Singletary show. The last, let's see. Cook was mixing in the third quarter a bunch, and it was near even, I think. It was, through the third quarter, it was 10 for Singletary, 9 for Cook. And then once Cook dropped that pass, which ended up being, I think it was on a second down play. From that point forward, it was Singletary for 27 straight snaps. So it's just that one step forward, two steps back for a rookie. It doesn't really seem like there's just too many mental errors right now where it doesn't seem like it's ready to put him into a higher role. And it was disappointing based on what they saw last week, because it looked like he was ready to kind of push into the 20 to 25, maybe even 25 to 30 snap role, and kind of pull Singletary back to keep him a bit more fresh. But they found out that he's still not over those early rookie mistakes. So we'll see how he comes back next week. All right, let's get into the defense, because I think a topic that is on a lot of people's brains right now is what's going on with Von Miller. The latest that we know, and I'm recording this in the morning on Friday, is that Miller, according to Ian Rappaport, is expected to miss time, that the initial prognosis was a sprain, but that, and this is all from Ian Rappaport, by the way, but that they haven't ruled out a long-term injury and a potentially season-ending injury, which, of course, would be a humongous blow to what they are trying to do throughout this season and all the emphasis they have put on this year to try and get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl for the first time in franchise history. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN reported that there is some cautious optimism about Miller's injury. But regardless of if Miller did not suffer a season-ending injury, they're going to be without him for some time here. The one thing that Rappaport brought up was the timing of a wild card round and things like that. But that seems, from the way that he was talking and tweeting, that seems to be, feels like the best case scenario at that point. So what do the Bills do? Because, you know, I will give the Bills defense credit. While the offense was just kind of walking in place for a good portion of that second half, the Bills defense held up. And they got the safety that helped increase the lead to 5. And that ultimately that put the Bills in a position to take the lead and then win the game at the end of it. They did allow one touchdown drive, but over the course of, let's see, how many drives was it? Over the course of, what was it, six drives total, they only allowed 10 points and got 2 of them for themselves. Sorry, 11 points, because the Lions successfully completed a 2-point play. But only allowing 11 points in that second half, especially with how the Lions were moving the ball a bit better in the first half, they definitely held, considering all the odds that were against them, they held up pretty well. Von Miller was down the entire second half. He went out in the second quarter. They were already down Greg Rousseau and AJ Epenesa coming into the game. So they were down to 3 defensive ends, one of which was a practice squad call-up, and another was a healthy scratch for the first game of the season. And then they were also without Tremaine Edmonds. And at cornerback, they got Tre'Davious White back for the first 2 series, but they decided not to play him at all after those first 2 series. And starting in place of Edmonds was a player that they claimed off waivers the week before, A.J. Klein, who knows the system, definitely has his deficiencies, was definitely an improvement over Tyrell Dodson, but it was a bit of a skeleton crew feel. The only thing that was kind of a constant for them was their defensive tackle group, which all 4 of their guys that they've invested in throughout this offseason and previous offseasons, they were all available. I felt that all 4 of those guys had a really strong day, with Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, Jordan Phillips, Tim Settle. I think all 4 of those guys deserve a lot of credit for help steadying things the way that they did, especially in a winnable matchup against the Lions' backup guards. That was huge for the Bills. But with the defensive end position, now it gets to a point where I think it becomes a turn back the clock scenario. Because even though the Bills weren't the greatest at finishing plays in the backfield and getting sacks like they have been this season, they still had a number one guy available to them pretty much the entire season in Jerry Hughes. Now they need one of these other players to step up, whether it's Greg Rousseau rushing off the left side or AJ Epenesa rushing off the right side. First off, they need one of those two guys to get healthy. And in the short term, maybe there's a chance one of them, one or both, does get ready for the Patriots game. You know, the Epenesa was ruled doubtful, which is a slightly encouraging sign that it wasn't an outright rule out by the time the practice week was done. He likely was not going to play, but there was at least a non-zero chance that they felt like he could if it went their way. But the percentages were low. But because it was a doubtful designation, maybe he'll have, or they'll have, some hope that he can practice this week and get himself ready for the Patriots game. And Rousseau, they ruled him out on Wednesday, but they also didn't clump him in with Epenesa and Edmonds as the players that they felt would be a bit of a stretch to make it for the game early in the week, I should point out. So there is at least some, like, a few slight signs that maybe one or two of these guys can go, because they need them. I mean, Boogie Basham, yeah, I can't give the guy the Matt Barkley Award every week, so I'm just gonna say this. That guy played 37 of the team's final 39 snaps against the Lions, which is unheard of from a Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier based defense. They love a defensive end rotation, they love a defensive line rotation, and a high percentage for a game for a single player is in the low 70s, maybe mid 70s. If a player is getting that much time, you're like, whoa, that's a lot of time. But to get 37 out of the final 39 snaps just goes to show how desperate they were throughout the duration. Like, that is almost 95% of the final 39 snaps. They needed him. And it's crazy because Basham has been one of their more inconsistent players, but because he has stepped up in recent weeks, he became the guy for them. He played both sides, depending on who was out there with him. And Shaq Lawson also got, I think, 30 or 31 of the final 39. Mike Love mixed in occasionally, but they couldn't trust a practice squad player that hasn't played in many games for them in a close game where they needed to know that their edge contain and that they would have some pass rushing chops to get back to Jared Goff to be able to impact him a bit. So now the Von Miller injury puts a major focal point on those three young guys and Shaq Lawson. One of them has to become the guy, or at least more consistent in getting back to the backfield. Like, Rousseau has definitely taken a step forward, don't get me wrong. Same thing with Epenesa, I think. But neither of those guys are the closer that Von Miller is, where getting into the backfield in key moments, you know, Rousseau is more of the hold off his blocker, shed the block because he has long arms and he's strong, and being able to get to the pocket once there's some more anarchy going around. Epenesa has flashed some instant win ability, but is not consistent with that to this point of the season. And I think he's more so a better all-around defensive end than one that you can depend upon to give you a big play when a team needs it. So they are lacking that it guy even more so than they were last year when they were going through the playoffs with Jerry Hughes as their top guy. I think all in all, this just puts all the attention and focus on a pair of defensive tackles to be able to step up their game because they have the ability to do so. And that's Ed Oliver and Jordan Phillips for me. Oliver was outstanding against the Lions. He's made a habit of it on Thanksgiving. I think Oliver has had a really good season this year. I think he's been pretty underrated throughout his career in Buffalo because the things that he does on film that often go unnoticed are just not the flashy plays. But now he needs to, especially without Von Miller, he needs to have the substance plus flash and deliver because the Bills have some issues behind the defensive line. The way once they get Tre'Davious White back to a full-time role, that will be huge. But Dane Jackson has really looked poor, looked like he's struggling to a grand degree. Christian Benford, same thing for 2 weeks in a row. I found it interesting that after White went out of the game, Christian Benford played the next four series, which is not the norm. And that Kair Elam did not mix in at all up until it seemed like Benford was really struggling on some coverage reps. So maybe that shows their hand a little bit of the depth chart. Dane Jackson remains the favorite to be the starting cornerback with Tre'Davious White, but that's an issue. I mentioned Xavier Rhodes in the past episode and in the All 22 review is maybe someone that is deserving of a better look, but there's just not an answer right now at the second cornerback spot, which puts more pressure on the defensive line to step up. And then Jordan Poyer's out there, but Damar Hamlin has been fine, just okay, susceptible to getting beat and hesitant to get to a spot that Micah Hyde would have been at. I mean, it's not really a like, hey, Damar Hamlin, you should be more like Micah Hyde. It's just he's young into his career and you can't expect that right away from that type of player. And that's someone who's been in their scheme for going on his third season, but it's just not all the way there the way that Micah Hyde was. And, you know, obviously Micah Hyde is the more talented of the two players. So that puts a lot of pressure on, to me, on Oliver to at the very least win his one-on-ones consistently and create some havoc that sets things up for his defensive end teammates. But it is going to get more difficult for Oliver because now without Von Miller, Oliver is going to be the focal point of the offensive line attacks. Lots of double heads, double teams are going to be coming his way. So I think Frazier and defensive line coach Eric Washington, they're going to have to be really creative in how they get some pressure on the opposing team. Because I don't know that they're going to be able to get there with just their front four at the same rate or even close to the same rate as they were with Von Miller in the lineup. Maybe it's more blitzing. Maybe it's more man-to-man in coverage with Tre'Davious White back or whenever he does get back to a full-time role. Maybe they utilize Tremaine Edmonds as a blitzer more because he's pretty darn good at it. Same thing with Matt Milano. They're going to have to be pretty creative and dig back into the game plans from last season, late last season, when, you know, they were having trouble finishing those plays with just the front four. But a lot, you know, there's a lot riding on the Von Miller injury. If it's not a season-ending one, that's humongous for the Bills because, you know, this is very likely going to be a playoff team. And if they could get him back for the postseason, that is a humongous boost. But if it is a season-ending injury, and I'm sure we'll find out more today at some point, the Bills are going to have to get creative and maybe comb the practice squads out there to see if there's a veteran pass rusher that they could bring in. Should be interesting, but lots of questions from that perspective, even though it was a pretty good game for the defense, I thought. All right, let's get to some awards, shall we? The Bills, 8-3 on the season, and you know, maybe not exactly the way that the Lions game probably should have gone, but you know, 8-3 nonetheless. So let's get it kickstarted with the Dree Archer Award for the player that did not show up at all in that game. And I'm going to give it to James Cook because he had 2 carries for 4 yards. That's the least of the concerns. But his snaps were around the same level, was not nearly as effective, caught a couple passes, was targeted 5 times, only had 2 catches, dropped a pass that ended up getting him benched for the rest of the game, and then because it looked like he was continuing his route to his right, very nearly created a turnover opportunity for the Lions with a shortened field. That's worthy of the Dree Archer, especially with how he showed up well the previous game against the Browns. So Dree Archer Award to James Cook. The Vontae Davis Award will also stay in the backfield and give it to Nyheim Hines because the man did not play an offensive snap in the second half. In fact, he didn't play an offensive snap past the first quarter. Once the second quarter kicked in, he was on the sidelines every time Josh Allen and company were on the field. He was out there as a return man and everything like that, but what happened there? 5% of snaps by my count. Rather than ramping him up the way that they did the previous week, he had 10 snaps against the Browns. Down to 4. 4 of the first 13, mind you. And then nothing. So that's the Vontae Davis Award for the player that did not show up in the second half. The Matt Barkley Award for the player or thing that surprised you for a positive reason? I think I'll probably go with AJ Klein there. I had there were some wonders about the linebacker spot heading into this game because over the last game and a half, like when Tremaine Edmonds went down against the Vikings and Tyrell Dotson came in, their pass coverage was really struggling in that intermediate area because Matt Milano just physically could not be everywhere and Dotson was picked on quite a bit by both the Vikings in the second half and the Browns. So I thought maybe there was a chance that AJ Klein could get himself incorporated into the lineup. Even asked Sean McDermott about, you know, what can you expect with AJ Klein and getting him back up to speed. Because it's a bit of a different situation than like a Nyheim Hines. AJ Klein had been with the Bills for the 2 years prior. He had only left the organization 10 months ago after the Bills cut him to save cap space. And he has also spent a lot of years with McDermott dating back to their time in Carolina together. So there's an inherent trust there from McDermott and Leslie Frazier in AJ Klein. So I thought there was a chance, even though it was only a week from when they claimed him to when he played against the Lions, but he was out there. He was their starter. It looked better than it did. It was still not the best because Tremaine Edmonds is such an important piece to this defense, and I think a lot of people are realizing that now, to the point where you have to think, okay, is this going to force the Bills' hand to re-sign this guy, as opposed to maybe how people felt about it a few months ago? Because he has really been good this season. But AJ Klein gets the Matt Barkley Award for not only getting the start, but also providing an improvement over what they had at the linebacker spot the previous week. The Gotta Watch the Tape Award will go to every single boundary cornerback on the roster. So that means Tre'Davious White in his 15 snaps. That means Dane Jackson, who got 100% of the snaps throughout the game. Same thing with Christian Benford and Kaiir Elam, because, man, there is not a good answer at boundary cornerback right now. And it doesn't seem like that Tre'Davious White is just going to just snap a finger and be the 100% role, maybe even next week. But he'll eventually get there as long as everything goes well. Though they are taking it slow with him. I could see them doing a full half, or maybe a two series on, two series off, two series on situation, like they've done with Elam and Benford for much of the year. But yeah, they need him. They need him a lot. The Lions really didn't go after him. They went after Dane Jackson, and Jackson did not do well with it. And that's part of the Gotta Watch the Tape Award. Need to see how bad it actually was with Dane Jackson, and maybe if there were some better reps than we saw. Because the broadcast and the watching it in the game can be deceiving with that position. You know, we see him when it's bad, or when there's an interception or a pass breakup, and there's not really much in between. So need to see if it was actually as bad as it seemed. And then Elam and Benford. Why? What facilitated Benford basically being iced at the end of the game and Elam going in? And why is Elam fourth on the depth chart? That's another thing entirely. So gotta watch the film to everybody on the cornerback spot. And then last but not least, the Blaine Gabbert Award for Perseverance. I've been critical of this guy for several weeks now, you know, rightfully so, because he has failed to make an impact and his snaps were getting cut into the past couple of weeks. But Blaine Gabbert Award for Perseverance goes to Isaiah McKenzie. I mean, had a much better game this time around. I have to go and get the actual stats because I don't have them right in front of me. But he put it together against some man-to-man coverage, which is where he is at his best, and made himself available numerous times to Josh Allen throughout the game, especially when they were struggling. Like I mentioned how early in the episode that the Bills offense only had 88 yards to their name in the second half leading up to those two drives, and 30 of that was on one play. That 30 yarder was a catch by Isaiah McKenzie. So 10 targets for him in total, 6 catches, 96 yards and a touchdown. Just a nice job to step up when they needed him. So kudos, Blaine Gabbert Award for Perseverance, to Isaiah McKenzie. All right, so the Bills, they get a full week now. It's the weird Thursday to Thursday schedule. The Patriots are also on it, so it's not as though they're getting the Patriots on a short rest. But it's weird because the Bills are going to be probably going to be having a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday practice schedule, fly out on Wednesday, and then they play the Patriots on Thursday in New England. The first time in a long time that the Bills do not play in New England on the weekend closest to Christmas. That's been like a thing for the last 5 or 6 years. But yeah, that should be interesting. And then seeing how this offense responds, especially with some really good stuff at the end of the game, but some really bad stuff leading up to it. And then the Von Miller injury. That will be the ultimate thing that could have some ripple effects throughout the throughout the rest of the Bills season and what they're trying to do in the playoffs. So very much a we'll see scenario. But yeah, I guess the thing that they're taking away is that they got the win. To their credit, they put it together when they needed to. They're 8-3 on the season. Not always going to be pretty. Every cliche you can come up with. Not always going to be pretty, but they did what they needed to do to get the win. But this is definitely the first win of the year that it didn't really feel like that the Bills deserved it. So that's why this episode was a little bit focusing on some of the critical natures of what they did wrong. All right, so the next time you will hear from me will be later. Well, not later this week because the week is almost over. It will be early next week, just ahead of the Patriots game. Scheduled to talk with our guy covering the Patriots over at The Athletic, Chad Graff. Should be a good conversation to see what the Patriots are all about this year with some of their uneven results and how they're dominant on defense one game and then, you know, surrendering 33 points to the Vikings the next. Should be a fun one. But yes, this it's all kind of a hold in place until we see what happens with Von Miller. All right. I hope all of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving with you and yours. And I enjoy the weekend off where the Bills do not play. And then we will reconvene for the next Thursday night game when the Bills take on the Patriots in Foxborough. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. My name is Joe Biscaglia, and we will talk to you next week. See you then.